At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu. To the old me, scared and unseen, you're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This
bound, every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Edna White, and I am your host today on Keeping It Real on Purpose. And I am so glad that you are here with me today. So we have been talking about the emotional lives of Black women. And last week's episode went so well that I thought I'd extend it and talk about it this week. We're going to examine the emotional lives of Black women. And I'm going to lean towards the phrase that we've always heard, strong Black woman. A strong Black woman is a cultural icon. But when Black women cling to that image, rather than acknowledging and addressing the stress and the trauma so many of us have experienced, they may experience mental and physical problems. I know for myself, that had happened to me because I clung to that cultural icon of being strong. And my perception of being strong was taking on everything and anything, not showing any emotion, being able to withstand, not falling in and not being vulnerable. But today I want to help you confront your pain and your suffering and to learn the tools of coping through this emotional life that we have as Black women. Do you know an estimated 8 out of 10 Black women have experienced some form of trauma? It's a big number. And it's different types of trauma for Black women. And we often endure intergenerational trauma, childhood trauma, abusive relationships, pregnancy trauma, through our own personal stories and the stories of the family members, and through my clients, I hear this. And usually it's the deep-seated root of the stressors, of the problems. But that root was never acknowledged and never brought to surface or ripped out to examine what is really going on. You see, we have to undergo an autopsy. And that autopsy really is getting opened up and removing that bad part, taking it out, putting it in a glass jar, and examining where it came from, what reason why it's there, and really look at it and how it affected whatever part that it came out of. Rather than maintaining the cultural expectation of being strong, which can lead us to anxiety, depression, hypertension, diabetes, heart disease, and more, I want to offer Black women a new framework in which to understand how their life experience has impacted them. Then I want to show you how to adopt practices for your body and your mind health. So what is the iconic strong Black woman? Many Black women, including myself, wear the badge of strong Black women with honor. Head held high, never let no one see you cry, you know, and maintain that strong demeanor even in the face of insults and disrespect and racism. It is such a deeply embedded way of life. We often don't know any other way to be. It is our hustle, our grit, and our ability to get things done. It is our fierce love for friends and family and community, often at the sacrifice of our own needs. You know that's true, right? You can feel that. You know that's true. It is our deep faithfulness and ability to get right on back to our feet, and no matter how many things or how many times we get knocked down, we get right back up. It's our ability to hold our head up high and eagerly accept the challenge whenever anybody questions our talents or capabilities. It's pushing down the pain and putting on a smile no matter what we've been going through. What is the price for that? For too long, being strong has meant avoiding or denying how we really feel. It's holding that painful experience, like trauma, in shame and secrecy. Those two things will kill us, the S and S. See, that's the S that we really wear on our chest. It's not for super. It's for shame and secrecy. It's pretending that the sadness, the worry, the hurt, and the disappointment aren't there. But pretending doesn't make the feelings go away. And you know that. They get buried along with everything else. And then when a pin drop, it all explodes. It all explodes over everyone that it wasn't meant to go all over and on to. When those feelings are left unaddressed, they can grow into bigger problems and start to affect us in all areas of our life, such as school, work, family, and relationships. Now, why am I talking about this today? Because so many of my clients, Black women, brown women, who were showing up wonderfully for the outside world, they were silently suffering with everything from loneliness, dissatisfaction with their relationships, unresolved childhood trauma, family drama, racism, and sexism at work, feeling not good enough, and even more issues. These things were weighing them down in a profound way. Most strikingly of these women felt shame for not feeling strong, and they felt alone. You see, I want Black women to know, brown women to know, women of color to know, you are not alone. Your past experiences do not determine your future. There is no shame in feeling your feelings. Feeling sad, anxious, worried, stressed out all the time does not have to be your normal. Lightness is possible. Peace and contentment are available. Authentic joy is attainable. When we acknowledge all aspects of our being, we open ourselves up to be our most authentic selves, creating meaningful connections and live a more abundant life. I truly can attest to that. For many years, I took on the persona of strong, not vulnerable, not showing emotions. I had a lot of torn up rooms because I would get angry behind closed doors and rip my house apart. I had a lot of broken relationships because it showed up as an ultimatum. It showed up as you better not do. It showed up on my children as I expect. It showed up. And I had to get to the point that I had to be able to accept all of me, the emotional part of me, that I can cry, that I can laugh, that I can feel depressed, that I could feel upset, and I don't have to be ashamed about any of it, that I could be afraid, and I don't have to be ashamed of any of it, and it doesn't have to be secret. I found out that that S on my chest was the secrets and the shame, and I had to get rid of it. No S on my chest. I removed that. I took my cape off. I got rid of that. So what are the emotional challenges facing Black and brown women? Black and brown women face more stress related to work, finances, family responsibilities, racism, and discrimination and trauma. Combined with this life stress, I often hear Black women, and I said it to myself, and they talk about feeling an intense pressure to succeed and not wanting to let their family or the community down. Along with that, many say they are often made to feel they are not good enough, leading to intense insecurities. When this distress is not managed well, it can lead to depression or anxiety or physical health problems such as obesity, diabetes, and cardiovascular disease. I've learned that along the way. I was holding on to so much hate and anger that in my body, several years ago, I was forming tumors, and I didn't know why. I was exercising, good weight, but I was holding on to them. And one day, as I was getting two removed, the doctor said to me, "What are you upset about?" And I looked at him and said, "What?" He says, "Well, you haven't done anything to traumatically jar your body. You're not a rock climber. You know, you're not falling all the time. What are you doing?" And then he said, "You don't have to answer that to me. Ask yourself to you." So I'm going to tell you that today. Ask yourself, what are you doing that you're upset about, that your obesity is taking place, your diabetes is taking place, your cardiovascular disease is taking place? Why do Black and brown women push their feelings down? From my own experience, paying attention to, acknowledging, and talking about our feelings is not something a lot of Black women, brown women, have been taught to do or have seen modeled. When I tried to talk about my feelings as a child, my mother, who I have no ill will, would say things like, "You're fine," or "You need to get over it," or "It ain't the first time your feelings have been hurt, and it won't be the last time." You remember those sayings, right? And you heard them. Well, we clung to those and we kept those. That stopped us from then revealing all of our hurts, sharing our emotions, and not being ashamed and secretive about them. We deal with things by pushing our feelings aside, keeping our eye on the prize, and getting the task at hand done. This is how we survive. We were in survival mode, and some of us still are. We are afraid if we slow down long enough to really think about all the difficult things that we've been through and our pain, that we'd fall apart. I know I did for several years. That if I stopped working, if I stopped moving, I would start thinking and I would start releasing. And then everyone wouldn't think I was strong because I was a family hero. My kids wouldn't see me strong because their dad wasn't there. Because their other family members wasn't supportive. Now, what does it take for us to change that? Us Black and brown women have to turn to counseling for help. Do you know that Black people are less likely than those who are white to receive mental health treatment? This is partly due to not seeing themselves as having a problem, thinking they can solve the problem on their own, or not thinking mental health treatment will be helpful. And I've seen that all over the spectrum. Even with some of the clients that I talk to, they won't get help. They won't ask for coaching. They know they need it. They resist it, and they won't do it because there's nothing wrong with me. That's the way things are, you know. And then we are afraid to be judged by friends, family, and even therapists from a different race. You see, in this field, there's not many Black and brown mental health providers or coaches that just service Black women or brown women. There are too few of them. Too few of Black social workers, psychologists, and psychiatrists. There is a deeply embedded mistrust of the healthcare system, and people worry about confidentiality. There's sensitive information being used against them and perceived in a negative consequence to treatment. You know, they're afraid of having the medication side effects or even being locked up. Recently, I've noticed a trend with more Black women talking about their mental health and thinking about how they can practice self-care. Movements like that are encouraging women to rest and have peace. They're encouraging women to walk, take care of themselves, be involved in sports, be involved in social gatherings. You know, celebrities like Michelle Obama, Meghan Markle, Serena Williams, Taraji Henson, and many others, and including myself. That's crucial for chipping away at the stigma of real mental health and encouraging people to seek treatment, to seek change, to seek someone that could give them direction. Now, the challenge going forward will be to have a large enough and diverse enough group of providers to meet that growing need. But don't let that stop you. Your mental health is the most important to you, especially going into this January 2022 Mental health has to be the top of the line. Because now with all the variant that's going on and more people getting sick and the spread and outbreak of the variant, we have to be mentally strong. Now, how can Black and brown women cope with their bottled up feelings? Some black women and brown women do not have the necessary tools to cope with their feelings in a healthy way. And as a result, they may engage in unhealthy coping strategies such as eating unhealthy foods, drinking alcohol, using illicit drugs, being sedentary or workaholic. While these behaviors may offer a band-aid to the problem, they are not a long-term solution. Now, on the other hand, many Black and brown women do have some healthy coping resources readily available to them. Many cope with their feelings through spiritual and religious practices, but that's not recommended either. They may be involved in organizations such as sororities, women's groups, and voluntary or charity clubs that offer opportunities to not only be meaningful in the community, but work and be social. That's what you really get out of that, is being social. Don't cling to the practice. Be part of the opportunity for social support. It's important to be creative in your walk, in doing anything that you do. How you cope is how you get creative and expressive through singing, dancing, art, making stories, you know, baking, storytelling, poetry, anything that you want to do. You have to start to be creative. See, the missing part of the shame and the secrecy is the creativity. When I, as a child, experienced my childhood trauma, it stole my creativity. And I didn't want to explore anymore. I didn't want to be part of anything social. So it stole part of me, took some of my power, took the part of the power that had to do with my imagination. Get your power back. Be seen, be heard, be fulfilled. Liberate yourself and get coached. Black women, brown women. That's what I do. I want to be able to heal or restore the balance of harmony for our Black and brown women. And being in a group of people that allows you to be yourself without having the stigma of shame and secrecy, and really say, I enjoy listening to Earth, Wind, and Fire without that restriction. No, you can't listen to that. You can only listen to this type of music. Or no, you can't wear that. You can only wear this. Being yourself is without restriction from outside. Because being yourself, you don't really put restrictions on yourself. You don't really say, I don't like something, unless you don't like it. Outside communities that impose those restraints on you are not what you want, not what you want to be. You want to be your authentic self so your wings can open up and you can really fly. You want to be able to address your trauma in a safe place, with a safe person. You want to be able to cry when you need to and express what you need to express, but in a healthy way. You want to get to the root of your trauma and to connect or reconnect to your whole self. That's what you want. You want to have that experience, because What's holding you down is your emotional trauma that has to do with your thoughts, your feelings, and your memories that are related to that trauma that you experienced. And then over the years, as you grow, they become part of an intense, prolonged trauma. It's like living that day over again in a different way. It's like living with PTSD and your life keeps getting disrupted. It's like self-medicating. It's like the underlying factor of the pain, like it just happened. And feeling that prolonged trauma, the intensity, disruptive memories, persistence, exhaustion, depression, paranoia, like everyone is like talking about me, or just to feel like everyone's against me. Your sleep disturbances and disorders, physical sensations, fear and anxiety, and continuous distress is the emotional trauma that you're going to feel. If you do not take care of this, if you do not take care and heal and restore back the balance and harmony of being your whole self. I hope today that you heard something from me that I would like to get some comments on. Audience, I know that, you know, this is an intense subject, and I know that it's going to take a lot to resolve that, and it's going to take better habits, and it's going to take valuable skills and life skills, and it's going to take some good tools that you can carry for the rest of your life to embed in your life so that you have the love, you have the life, you have the relationships, the healthy relationships, and you'll have the job that you are aligned to have in your purpose, on purpose. And if you're in a job that you love, that you'll have the pay that you deserve, because you deserve to have pay. You deserve to be paid for what you're worth. But because of that, I am strong. I am a strong Black woman with the S on your chest for shame and secrecy. You don't have it. Begin today and set yourself free to see and feel free. This is Edna J. White, and I'm so glad that you were here with me, audience. Thank you. Thank you for being here with me today. And I applaud you every day for every Wednesday that you show up for me. Thank you, because you're putting this Keeping It Real on purpose on the map. And I thank you for that. January 2022 is starting out real great, and I'm so excited about it. Listen, if you have a question, you have a comment, you have something to say or share, hit me up. Let me know what you want to hear, what you want to say, because I'm here. I want to know what you're feeling. This is Edna White once again saying goodbye for now, and I hope that you remember to always have joy, always have peace, but really have it down, deep down in your real authentic self. Bye for now.
I'm Martha Stewart, and I believe the best gifts are not only beautiful, but useful every single day. And Lennox has brought timeless beauty and lasting quality to our tables for generations. and their Lenox Spice Village is the perfect holiday gift for someone you love or for yourself. Spice Village transforms everyday spices into inspired memories filled with warmth and joy all year long. Give a gift that lasts beyond the holidays. Discover the collection at lenox.com/spicevillage.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.